Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 6th of February. I'm Paul White. Great to have you with me as we are working Galatians 2:20 in different ways. Today we work a little bit from the Greek and work on parsing some words. Let me make sure that all of us are on the same page when we talk about parsing a word. There are different tenses and voices and moods in the Greek. Whenever you use a different tense, you add a different amount of color to the background of a word. Whenever we talk about perfect tense, and I want to focus on perfect tense today because there are two phrases used in this 20th verse that I want to put up side by side, and maybe even you grab a piece of paper and a pen and watch, just lay these two phrases out side by side and watch what happens. But let's make sure we understand perfect tense. The perfect tense in Greek would be the same as the perfect tense in English. It's an action that is viewed as having been completed in the past once and for all and does not need to be repeated. Okay, I'll start there. It's been completed in the past once and for all. It need not be repeated. I'll tell you why it need not be repeated in a moment. Let's make sure we understand sort of the classic perfect tense from the New Testament. One that I love to use, that is used a lot to try to give a good example of perfect tense. Jesus' cry from the cross, "It is finished." Greek perfect tense. And that is a great example because it talks about the atonement being accomplished completely once and for all time. In fact, the book of Hebrews will pick up that motif, talk about Jesus' sacrifice being a once for all sacrifice. That's a perfect tense, having been done. It is always done. Now, to help fill that out, remember this part of the definition. Completed in the past, once for all, does not need to be repeated. My question then, and this helps understand perfect tense, why does it not need to be repeated? Because the beauty of perfect tense is that it has been completed so that it is always completed and never needs completed again. In other words, it's an ongoing effect. Whatever happened then has an ongoing effect now. The word perfect tense is such a perfect word because the perfect tense is perfect. Whatever was completed is perfectly completed and continues to be completed. So it is finished. Perfect tense, always finished. Doesn't need to be finished in the future. It is always finished. Perfect tense, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. King James says, I am crucified with Christ. Either way, sistaru is the Greek word. Would you believe? Of course you would, because we set it up. Perfect tense. I am crucified. Or, as the New King James says, I have been crucified. Either way, perfect tense would indicate, not only indicate, perfect tense would demand that we have this understanding. I have been crucified completely, once, and for all time. The tense used here is the exact same as it is finished. So Paul is saying, I have already been crucified. My crucifixion is in the past. My crucifixion is complete. My crucifixion is once. My crucifixion is all time. To me, this completely dismantles the biblically ignorant argument that you should be re-crucified. I said biblically ignorant, meaning there is no biblical evidence that overcomes the perfect tense of I am crucified with Christ. We do not have the Bible arguing against itself and demanding that you go do something that has already been done. So, I apologize if that's a little too bold, but I've came too far down the road in that camp of, oh, you got to be re-crucified. That wore me out, and it ran me off from a finished work. How finished is it if I've got to refinish it every day? Well, it's not finished at all. Certainly not perfect tense finished. Now let's do some comparison. If you take notes in your Bible, this is worth putting out to the edge. Maybe even just taking a note of this. Look at verse 20 again, and it's what we've been looking at for days, and probably will continue to do so for several days. I have been crucified. But then as you sneak ahead, I live. O King James, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. New King James, I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Either way, watch two perfect tenses. I am crucified, perfect tense. I live, Greek word zeo, perfect tense. So as crucified permanently as I am just as alive permanently. I am not alive then dead. I'm not alive trying to die. I'm not alive trying to be re-crucified. I got double perfect tenses. I am crucified, done deal. I am alive, done deal. I am as crucified today as I was the moment I was crucified. I am as alive today as the moment I became alive in Christ. Let's take it to the future. I will be as crucified 10 years from now as I am today, no more, no less. I will be as alive 10 years from now as I am today, no more, no less. There are no degrees of crucifixion. There are no more degrees of crucifixion than there are degrees of pregnant. I mean, you're not halfway pregnant, you're pregnant. You're not halfway crucified, you're crucified. You're not halfway alive, you're alive. Now, granted, I do know, I believe that I've been there, and I believe I see it in people. They are alive. They're just not aware of how alive. They've sort of fallen asleep on that knowledge, and many of them are wrapped up in the grave clothes of a mummy. They are alive, but they are not free. There's a difference in life and liberty. That's why our founding fathers, when they wrote life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the right to live our life, but to live our life free, they are not one and the same. Liberty is granted to us by God, but often denied to us by governments and by men. And sometimes even by ourselves. We subjugate ourselves to a bondage that we don't have to. We should be a better people than this, but that's for another time. Life and liberty. I have life, I have liberty. I'm not going to be more alive, although I may be more liberated. Liberty is something I've got to sometimes fight for and most certainly hold on to and defend. But my life is not going to get, I'm not going to get more alive in Christ. I am as alive in Christ as I can possibly be. This is why I shrink back from teachings that talk about this church needs to come alive in Jesus. And I think, I don't know how you can come alive more than being alive in Christ. And I know what they really mean is you guys need to get emotionally fired up about Jesus. And okay, maybe you do. Or maybe you don't. I don't know that it makes a whole lot of difference in your life in Christ how fired up you are emotionally. I would rather you be alive and know it and be in liberty than not know how alive you are and only feel alive if you had a goosebump, or if you were shouting, or if the church was in the middle of a spontaneous or well-organized praise and worship session, and then you figured out, oh, I'm alive. I would much rather have you alive and know it and not attach that to your emotions. Either way, perfect tense, what a verse. We'll do some more work in the Greek on Galatians 2:20 tomorrow. See you then. God bless.